Narayanam namaskrityam. Naram chaiva narottamam. Devam sarasvatim vyasam. Tato jayam udiraye. Jaya jaya Shri Chaitanya. Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Vaita Chandra. Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. So this is Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela, Chapter 7, The Lord Tours South India, which is very nice. It's very warm. There's lots of coconuts and bananas. It's a good place to retire. Yeah. Text number 128. This is one section very famous of Lord Chaitanya's preaching to the Korma Brahmin. And this is the central verse, which we probably quotes many times. Yare whomever deka you meet, tare him kaha tell Krishna Upadesh, the instruction of Bhagavad Gita as it is spoken by the Lord, or of Srimad Bhagavatam, which advises one to worship Sri Krishna. Amar Agnai, under my order, and it's Lord Chaitanya speaking, of course, Guru Hanya, becoming a spiritual master, Tara, deliver, Adesh, this country. Yare deka tarikaha Krishna Upadesh. Amar agnyai guru hanya tarikadesh. Okay, translation. Lord Chaitanya told the Brahmin, instruct everyone to follow the orders of Lord Sri Krishna as they are given in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. In this way, become a spiritual master and try to liberate everyone in this land. So to go back, we can find where this conversation began. So Lord Chaitanya was traveling all over South India, dancing in ecstasy, spreading the holy names, staying one night in different places. And it says, text number 121, Korma name se grami vaidika brahmana bahu shraddha bhakti kaili prabhara nirantara. It's too bright. It's high like that. Already there are like spots now. Yeah. Wow. I can't even see. In one village, there was a Vedic Brahmin named Korma. He invited Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his home. With great respect and devotion. Garyani Prabhu Kaila Pada Prakshalan Sejwala Vangsi Sahita Karila Bhakshan. This Brahmana brought Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his home, washed his lotus feet, and with his family members drank the water dry. Aneka prakar snehe biksha karaila goshanira te sheshan sambangse kaila. That Korma Brahmana, with great attention and respect, made Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu eat all kinds of food. After that, the remnants were shared by all the members of the family. Ye para padma tomar brahma jnanakare se para padma shakshat aila moragare. The brahmana then began to pray, O my Lord, Your lotus feet are meditated upon by Lord Brahma. These very lotus feet have come into my home. My dear Lord, there is no limit to my great fortune. It cannot be described. Today my family, birth, and riches have all become glorified. My family, birth, and riches. Kripa Kara Prabhu More Yantama Sange Sahite Na Pare Duka Vishaya Tarange. The Brahmana begged at Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "My dear Lord, kindly show me favor and let me go with you. I can no longer tolerate the waves of misery caused by materialistic life." Now, Prabhupada's purport. This statement is applicable for everyone, regardless of how rich or prosperous one may be. Narottam Das Thakur has confirmed this statement. Songsara Vishanale Divinisha Hina Jwale. He states that the materialistic way of life causes a burning in the heart. One cannot make any provisions for the troublesome life of the material world. It is a fact that one may be very happy as far as riches are concerned, and one may be very opulent in every respect. Yet one has to manage the vishayas to meet the demands of the body and of so many family members and subordinates. One has to take so much trouble to minister to others. Narottam Das Thakur therefore prays, Vishaya Chadiya Kabe Shudahabe Mana. Thus one must become freed from the materialistic way of life. One has to merge himself in the ocean of transcendental bliss. Jai. In other words, one cannot relish transcendental bliss without being freed from the materialistic way of life. It appears that the Brahmana named Korma was materially very happy, for he expressed his family tradition as Janmakula Dhana. Janmakula Dhana. Now being glorified, he wanted to leave all these material opulences. He wanted to travel with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. According to the Vedic way of civilization, one should leave his family after attaining 50 years of age and go to the forest of Vrindavan and devote the rest of his life to the service of the Lord. Service of the Lord. Text 127. Prabhu kahe, aiche vat kabu na kaiba, grihe rahi krishna nama nirantara laiba. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, "Don't speak like that again. Better to remain at home and chant the holy name of Krishna always." Purport. It is not advisable in this Kali Yuga to leave one's family suddenly, for people are not trained as proper brahmachari and grihastha. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised the brahmana not to be too eager to give up family life. It would be better to remain with his family and try to become purified by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra regularly, under the direction of a spiritual master. This is the instruction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If this principle is followed by everyone, there is no need to accept sannyas. In the next verse, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advises everyone to become an ideal householder by offenselessly chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and teach the same principle to everyone he meets. Yeah. To become an ideal householder by chanting Hare Krishna and teaching everybody he meets. And that's the next verse. Yare deka tahi kaha Krishna upadesh. Amar agnai guru hai tare desh. Instruct everyone to follow the orders of Sri Krishna as they are given in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. In this way, become a spiritual master and try to liberate everyone in this land. Prabhupada says, this is the sublime mission of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Many people come and inquire whether they have to give up family life to join the society. But that is not our mission. One can remain comfortably in his residence. We simply request everyone to chant the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If one is a little literate and can read Bhagavad Gita as it is and Srimad Bhagavatam, that is so much the better. These works are now available in English translation and are done very authoritatively to appeal to all classes of men. Instead of living engrossed in materialistic activities, people throughout the world should take advantage of this movement and chant the Maha Hare Krishna Maha Mantra at home with their families. One should also refrain from sinful activities, illicit sex, meat eating, gambling, and intoxication. Out of these four items, illicit sex is very sinful. Every person must get married. Every woman especially must get married. If the women outnumber the men, some men can accept more than one wife. In that way, there will be no prostitution in society. If men can marry more than one wife, illicit sex life will be stopped. One can also produce many nice preparations to offer Krishna: grain, fruit, flowers, and milk. Why should one indulge in unnecessary meat eating and maintain horrible slaughterhouses? What is the use of smoking and drinking tea and coffee? People are already intoxicated by material enjoyment, and if they indulge in further intoxication, what chance is there for self-realization? Similarly, one should not partake in gambling and unnecessarily agitate the mind. The real purpose of human life is to attain the spiritual platform and return to Godhead. That is the summum bonum of spiritualization. The Krishna consciousness movement is trying to elevate human society to the perfection of life by pursuing the method described by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his advice to the Brahmana Korma. That is, one should stay at home, chant the Hare Krishna mantra, and preach the instructions of Krishna as they are given in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. And one last text. I guess you just read the translation. Kabiva Badibe Tomar Vishaya Taranga Punarapa E Tane Pabi Morasanga. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised the Brahmana Korma, if you follow this instruction, your materialistic life at home will not obstruct your spiritual advancement. Indeed, if you follow these regulative principles, we will meet again here, or rather, you will never lose my company. At whoever's house, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted alms by taking prasadam, he would convert the dwellers to his Sankirtan movement and advise them just as he advised the Brahmana named Korma. While on his tour, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would spend the night at a temple or on the roadside. Whenever he accepted food from a person, he gave him the same advice he gave the Brahmana Korma. He adopted this process until he returned from South India, tour to Jagannath Puri. Thus I have described the Lord's behavior elaborately in the case of Korma. In this way you will know Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's dealings throughout South India. Yari deke tari kaha Krishna upadesh amar agnai guru hoi tari resh. So Prabhupada ki. 20 questions? Comments? Complaints? It's okay? Yes, sir. That's the basic point. Because again and again and again and again and again, Prabhupada's saying that past 50 one should take sannyas. So, where to go here? Got this here robot. Wake up, robot. Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam. Are you ready for this? Srimad Bhagavatam 1.13.24. And this is just the very beginning of the Bhagavatam. Of course, it goes on like that more and more. And this is Vidura's instructions to Dhritarashtra. Now, Dhritarashtra is not a young man like that. Prabhupada says that in the Shankara Sampradaya, you can't make any progress until you take sannyas. That's the idea, like that. So therefore, many people are afraid that to join a spiritual movement, especially in India, you have to become a sannyasi. Like that, And so Prabhupada's telling him, no, you don't have to come sannyasi to join our movement like that. You know? You stay in your house, become chant Hare Krishna, and become purified. He gave the same advice to Raghunath Das, right? Raghunath Das was a young fellow, he wasn't even married, and he wanted to leave his opulence. His parents were very rich, very opulent, Govardhan and Hiranya. They were the tax collectors for Bengal and had unlimited wealth. And he was their only son, so of course he was so much education, opulence, affection by his parents. And he wanted to leave everything and become a Hare Krishna devotee, like that, follow Lord Chaitanya. So he kept running away from his home, and his parents kept catching him, bringing him back, you know. And so it actually became almost a daily affair like that. He was sneaking off and going to the temple and, you know, chanting Hare Krishna. So then finally he met Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya said, don't act like a crazy man, you know. You should live in family life and enjoy life in a civilized fashion and chant Hare Krishna. And when you become sufficiently purified, then Krishna will make the arrangement, you know, for you to become a sannyasi, fully renounced like that. So he did that. Actually, the story is very nice because you know, his mother was very disturbed. She told her husband, he said, our son's become a madman. You should tie him up like that so he doesn't escape. And his father said, better we get him married. He's even more entangled. More entangled than tying him up is going to get him married like that. You know? And so they found a very beautiful girl, very shy, chaste, voice like an angel, very nice character. And then following Lord Chaitanya's advice, you know, Raghunath got married, but he never would go inside the house. He would always sleep on the porch like that. She was calling him, Raghu! Woohoo! Raghu! Like that. Stuff like that. So one minute, I'm coming in. So he used to go in the porch, you know. This went on for some time. And then he started acting like a normal person. They figured, oh, he's calmed down now. And he would, you know, go to parties and everything else like that. Then it occurred that Lord Nityananda was passing nearby in Panihati on the bank of the Ganga with his Sankirtan party. And so he asked his father if he could go and visit him. And he said, yes, you can go a couple of days and come back and take with you, you know, four servants, one Brahmin, in the five bodyguards, like that, you know. So he makes sure you come back, you know. So he went there, and he has a big festival, of course, very famous, and Lord Nityananda was under a tree, and looked like the moon surrounded by stars, all of his associates, and so many, I guess, hundreds of people there. And so Raghunath came, and he was just watching from a distance and so amazed. But then somebody said, oh, there's Raghu! And then Nityananda said, bring him here. And he was very shy, paid his obeisances. And Nityananda said, you are a thief. You're trying to steal my property, but I've caught you. And what he meant was he was trying to get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya without his mercy. He was trying to get Lord Chaitanya's mercy without the mercy of Lord Nityananda. You're a thief, trying to steal my property. So now you must pay some penalty, you know. He said, you must feed all my friends here. Then Raghunath pulled out his Platinum Plus credit card and said, no problem, like that. It was a big festival like that. And everybody was very pleased. You know? And Lord Chaitanya came in a subtle form like that. And then the next day, he approached Lord Nityananda again in very nice prayers. He paid his obeisances in front of him, and he said, I'm like a dwarf who's trying to catch the moon, like that, Lord Chaitanya. But I think by your mercy it might be possible, like that. So please, you know, let me get the mercy of getting free from all these things and becoming an intimate associate of Lord Chaitanya, who himself took sannyas. You know? And then Raghunath told everybody, he said, look at this madman. Look at this crazy fellow. He's become intoxicated by this other madman, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, like that. Look at Raghunath. He has opulences like Lord Brahma. He has a wife like an angel in heaven. He has a father and mother and family that love him like anything, but he wants to renounce all these things. Just see this fool, intoxicated by this other fool, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, like that. And he put his foot on his head, like that, and it went away. Dry. The goal of life, get Lord Nityananda's foot on your head, like that. Yeah. And so, but after some time, very shortly after that, then, He was able to escape from his house. And he went, you know, ran away, and they went after him. But he was going by back roads and sleeping in cow sheds. And finally, he arrived in Jagannath Puri, and he hadn't really eaten for, like, it was like maybe 2 weeks or something like that. And he was all covered with, you know, straw and everything. Saw Lord Chaitanya. And again, they dragged him and took him in front of Lord Chaitanya, and he said, "Oh, amazing! You know, Krishna is so merciful." Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai, Tulsi Maharani ki jai. Yeah. He said, "You were captured by such an impossible situation to escape, you know. But, you know, Krishna has pulled you out of this. You know, your father and uncle are almost Vaishnavas." And they were giving so many donations. They were so generous and so respectful to the Vaishnavas. They would have them come to their homes, do kirtan programs. They would donate for their temples, for their book distribution. So Lord Chaitanya said, they're almost Vaishnavas. But actually, they're like, and I can say this, he said, because they're like my father and uncle. So I'm saying this, you can understand I'm not being, like, you know, critical of them. I'm joking, you know. But actually, they're like worms in the ditch where people pass stool and urine. Have you ever seen one of those places where people pass stool and urine? There are many worms living there in great satisfaction. So he said, that's what this materialistic life is like that. Even when it's very nice, when it's very pious, right? Yeah, that's the danger. Nasty material life, okay, leave it. But nice material life with a very, you know, submissive children and helpful wife, chaste, and, you know, chance to chat extra rounds. Yeah, and be generous to the Vaishnavas. That's when it becomes especially dangerous, because it's, you know, then what do? You go, you'll die and go to Indraloka, where you can chant your beads or Maharloka. You know, so then that sannyas, Prabhupada says that one should not accept sannyas like Lord Chaitanya. This is in the story of Narada Muni, first canto. Narada Muni took off, and he's just wandering everywhere, just whatever falls from the sky, he eats it. Whatever clothes he gets, and whatever defense he has against, you know, animals or whatever else, he just accepts that. And there's no water sometimes. So the purport Prabhupada says one cannot accept sannyas like this, but he should take up a vow of giving up social intercourse like that. Because so many things, even when we're involved in, you know, in ISKCON, you know, there's just so much politics about, you know, people, this and that, this and that. And of course, we can connect that to Krishna and make it useful for Krishna's service like that. But it's difficult for most people to get really completely free from that without formally taking sannyas, you know? And so it's a very useful thing. As far as I can see, reading Prabhupada's books again and again, he's basically saying that vanaprastha has enough in the Kali Yuga. You give up the big house, you know, your children, if they want to come and see you now, they got to sleep on the couch, their room is gone, they can't take over. You go visit them, you get a motorhome, a caravan, you go visit your kids and stuff, you know. And you get a place to live in Vrindavan and Mayapur. And you engage in full-time service now. And husband and wife follow vows, strict brahmacharya, like that, living very simply. In Vrindavan before, I don't know how now, but we could live for $100 a month, like that. Have like a, you know, a little place near the temple where many different ashrams. And, you know, a little kitchen, bathroom, one small living room and a small bedroom. And you pay for that, and then it's $100, you know, everything. And so many festivals, you never starve to death. It was just one wedding or something after another like that, you know. And so many things happening. So you could, if you were like an accountant, you could help with the temple accounting, or, you know. So your vanaprastha years, you could get back into just doing service and giving people good advice and guiding. And then the husband naturally goes traveling different festivals. And for a lady, it's more difficult going to, you know, some festival in Jagannath Puri and have a sleep on the ground with dharis and no place to bathe properly. And, you know, so then the lady becomes more accustomed to staying with her grown-up children. And they're very anxious for her to stay there because family life is very difficult. So when your grandmother is there, your mother is there, it helps so much, you know, to make everything, you know, practical like that. So it's very natural, it's the whole thing. Yeah, in the beginning you may be a little afraid, well, if I take sannyas, vanaprastha, what'll I do? Like that. It's like that. Yeah, some people like that. You know. You just there's so much to do. It's more than it's more to do now than there was, you know, when I was a grihastha, more service. You know. And then finally the idea of sannyas again is complete, you know, giving up social intercourse. And there's more formal austerities like that. Yeah. you've got to tolerate gigantic feasts being offered to you all the time. That is really bizarre, you know. It's supposed to be renunciate, but everybody's offering you all your 24-course feasts all the time, you know. But I'll tell you how it actually is, okay, being a sannyasi. You go someplace, there's been no sannyasi or GBC secretary maybe for 2 years there, okay. So every single lady wants to cook for you, okay. So then you're waiting there for, like, what time is lunch? Well, lunch will be at 12:30, okay. So you eat your breakfast, and 12:30 there's no lunch. 12:45 there's no lunch, you know, you're starting to get hungry looking, you know, in the Bhagavad, huh? At 1 o'clock there's no lunch, you know. At 1:15 they come in, all, everybody's smiling, and there's like all these preparations there, you know, so on. And, you know, the reason that it's late is because, like, one lady didn't finish her preparation, so everybody else had to wait. So everything's cold in the first place, like that. And then because they're cooking things they never cook normally, nothing is cooked all that very well, really. Like, the stuff is kind of raw, and it's too spicy, like that, you know. And there's, like, all these things in front of you, and you say, is there any rice? yeah, here it is. Like that, you know, okay, that, you know. Dull, like that, you know. And then you have to smile, like, it's like, and afterwards you have this hellish indigestion and stuff like that, you know. So, that's common, you know, it's common because you become such a formality, you know, formality, you know. And then, but it's good because the idea is you're supposed to set a formal example like that. Prabhupada says there's no difference between a grihastha fully engaged in the spiritual life and a sannyasi. But because of formal austerities, the sannyasi is given more formal respect, like that. So it's a formality, but that's necessary for some people, because, you know, because we need a big example sometimes, like that, with how the things are. But if you become more purified, how? By chanting Hare Krishna. You know, I understand Narottam Das Thakur said, if you chant Hare Krishna, it doesn't matter if you're a grihastha or a sannyasi. If you don't chant Hare Krishna, it doesn't matter if you're a grihastha or a sannyasi. Yeah? So the essence is chanting. It's kirtan, this age, like that. And all the rest of these things are formalities, not without meaning. You know, and some people, I understand Bhaktivinoda Thakur also, someone said he should take sannyas, but he was already in samadhi at the time. He was just chanting, and somebody would bring his lunch, and they have to, you know, tell him three times that lunch was there. You know, and he would just take a little bit like that. His body and bathing, he was probably, you know, was bathing or something, halfway through he would just be absorbed in some song or something and take an extra 10 minutes to remember he was bathing, you know. So somebody said, you should take sannyas. And he said, well, what is the use at this point, you know, like that. So he didn't take, you know, sannyas formally. But he had come to the level of consciousness. That's so on. So that's what I understand. The Prabhupada's recommending, yeah, all of us, at least to go to this vanaprastha ashram. Because it's very attached. One devotee, actually, he was from, his wife left her body the same time as Tamal Krishna Maharaj, you know, like that. And he came on the Bharatananda Parikrama right after that. He was describing the whole experience. He was very good grihastha, very senior devotee. And he said, he and his wife were arguing before they took this, they came back from Mayapur. On the way back, it was this car accident, and Tamal Krishna Maharaj left his body and his wife also. He said they were arguing about how he wanted to stay like a week more in India, and she was saying, no, the kids had to get back in time for school, and he was saying, what school? So they were arguing about this, you know. And he said that was it. That was the last thing they did, was kind of have this kind of family little argument, and she was gone, you know. And he said he went home, and it was like, you know, it was just incredible, because everything was there. Her clothes were still there. Everything was there. And he said that the most difficult thing were the drawers, like that. Because a lot of the drawers were in the kitchen and stuff belonged to her, and every single one, it was like, oh my God. It was like such a personal thing. You could see, like, why she had this that way. And it was like, he said, if he hadn't been a devotee, it would have been just hell. You know, it's just like a separation like that. Because the connection is so tight. Even if you're fighting half the time, it doesn't matter. If you're friends are fighting, there's a connection like that. One big atheist who's always fighting with one, you know, theist. It was a long time ago in Europe. And this big theistic guy died, and everybody was lamenting. This big atheist was also lamenting. He was crying like that. Well, why are you crying? He's your enemy. You know, he said, yes, but who will I argue with now? Like that. So you become, you know, that's it. You become attached. You know? Even myself, I took sannyas. And I was a brahmachari for 10 years. 10 years more, I took sannyas. And at some point, I got the news my father had left his body. I had no connection with my family from the time I took sannyas. But even so, I was having these dreams like that. I was realizing, wow, this connection is so deep. It's a part of your subconscious there. It's just these connections like that. You know? And so then you start to take sannyas, and vanaprastha starts to come out. You know, on the Brajmana Parikrama, Hari Soria was with us. After about 2 days, he said, look at my hands, you know. His hands were like shaking like that. he said, usually every day I'm on the computer for at least 3 hours every day, you know. And I haven't been able to touch a computer for like 3 days, and my hands are starting to go through this withdrawal like that, you know. And after a couple of days, it goes away. And you start dreaming about dirt, rope, cows. It's all you see all day long like that. So the conditioning is very deep. Yeah. And therefore, for Grihastha Ashram, it's recommended the deity worship. And what's the essence of the deity worship? Kirtan. Gornatai, you chant for them, you offer flowers, and you sing morning and evening. And then Prabhupada said, if you're a little educated, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. And then the whole thing becomes very purifying. Yeah. And then formally, when it's necessary, okay, there's a formality, then you can take sannyas or renounce these things like that. So it's okay. I've also heard that, but I never read it anyplace from Prabhupada like that. Again, because Vaishnavas are beyond the system. So again, this kind of sannyas that Prabhupada is recommending, again, is not the kind of... See, the sannyas that's being recommended there is that vanaprastha means you live in the forest and you wear tree bark, you know. And I never could figure that out coming from California, and here it's also kind of weird like that. What do you do like that? Little pieces like that of, you know. But then I saw like a coconut tree, you know. Yeah, and you see a coconut tree, it has this kind of like cloth you can pull off, you know, but it's a little rough. Imagine wrapping yourself up and making dresses out of coconut bark like that, and so on, you know, coconut tree bark, palm tree bark. But that's what it is, you know. You let your nails grow, and you don't tend your hair until it becomes, you know, matted and stuff like that, you know. And then at that point, you know, then automatically there's not much sex attraction for your wife like that. Her skin's rough and nails are out, and it's just, you know, it's like you're eating whatever falls from the trees. So the idea is then to come to, you know, next birth you take birth in a higher family, and you can be a Brahmin in your next birth. So it's a Vedic process like that, you know. But the Kshatriyas would enjoy, then they would take birth in a higher birth, higher family. But the essence is chanting Hare Krishna. And so Vaishnavas, it's recommended, you know, renunciation. But it's not, you know, it's the whole point. It's not renunciation. Nirbandha Krishna Sambandha Yukta Vairagi Uchate. It's to use everything for Krishna. And so that you know, there's not much, you know, distress. That's the whole point. If you do it gradually, and so you have a little austerity, and I'm used to having my bigger house, and I'm just kind of stuck in this smaller place, and but I go to the temple. The temple's a big house, you know, like that. You know, more and all, it's better. I'm going to worry about it. And I'm going to pay the bills and keep it clean and all this kind of stuff. And you realize actually it's better. Happy life. Yeah. So, any comments? Yeah. Yeah. Well, you see, he said in the beginning, you live in a family life, enjoy life in a civilized fashion, chant Hare Krishna, internally cultivate Krishna consciousness. And when it's mature, then Krishna will make the arrangement, you know, so you can renounce everything like that. Huh? No, different people. That's one thing. Everybody's different, you know. Everybody's different. Prabhupada's talking about, I think it was in terms of Chaivana Muni. He was a very old man. So that when he was giving the class on that, he says he was very old. He was older than me. He says his eyelids were falling down like that. He had to use some kind of twig to hold them up like that, you know, like that, you know. So he was older than me. You know? And he said, but still, he became attracted to the daughter of this king. like that. And I mean, she was about like, what, she was 12 years old or something like that, you know? He was very attracted to her. Like that. He said, and the king was asking, he committed some offense. So the king said, well, I want to please forgive us. And can I do anything to compensate for this disturbance? And he said, is your daughter married? He said, oh, no, and she's married. And so she was a very, very chaste girl. You know, her father is giving her to some man who's 85 years old, like that 12-year-old girl. You know? So okay, this is the situation. So she was just as good a sannyasi as any sannyasi. And he was a very irritable old guy, you know, very intelligent, very generous, like that. But still, his attachment was there. And so and when he's talking about the verse, it's nice to see public giving classes, talking about his own purports. And he said, but sometimes this happens. Sometimes this happens. And he told a story. He said in his, I guess when he was a young man, he was also one very old man, but very nice Vaishnava, he said. And he became attracted to the one girl in his family. She was getting a little bit older. She wasn't married. She was already pretty old, like maybe 16 years old or something like that. You know? Yeah. So, you know, nobody was marrying her. Something. And so then this old gentleman made this dignified fashion that maybe, you know, she wouldn't mind being married to me, you know. And so in the beginning, the girl didn't like this, you know, but her sister said, look, you know, who's going to take care of you, this and that. And so finally she said, okay, you know. So they got married, and Prabhupada said it was very nice. They had a very nice arrangement like that. They were very happy together like that. So it's very, he's getting, but it's proving, you know, different people are different. He's saying sometimes it happens like this, you know. And then an example was, of course, that she understood her husband's mentality. He was a very irritable guy. He always had to be right, you know, like that. You know, big intelligent guy. So she, yes, Prabhu, she understood everything. And she really tried to satisfy him, and he became completely under her control like that because, you know, he understood it. She was very concerned for him and stuff. And so when she would make some suggestion, he was taken seriously like that. You know? It's a very nice story about, you know, Daivi Varna Ashram. You know, so many examples for different kinds of people. But general process is, yeah, is this gradual giving up, you know, of land, house, family, position, society, like that. Yeah? And depending more and more depend upon Krishna. Like that. Yeah. No, it's a whole, the Vedic culture, because many people in India, they participate in this Vedic culture. You know. One Madanji in Vancouver, she's Indian, she was like this, trying to make up, you know, these things from her family, other traditions, which matched up with Prabhupada's books, for example. And in her community, there's 1 month in the year where all the daughters go home to their father's house. Like that. Because it's very nice. You get a chance to see all your sisters, what's happening. You get to cook for your daddy and associate with him, and he's nice to have all his daughters there. And, you know, the husband gets a chance to get a little relief and eat, you know, unspiced dal for 1 month. You know? And by the end of the month, everybody's happy. Oh, my wife's coming back, and she's going to cook for me, and she's sympathetic to me, you know, like that. So that way is an institution where husband and wife get a break. Every, you know, it's just one month they all go away, you know, like that. So, yeah. So there are many, many arrangements like that, you know. And even Keshava Bharati, he told me when he was married, he asked Prabhupada about associating with his wife. And Prabhupada said, you know, you come to the morning program together, you have breakfast together, and then she does her activities, you do your activities, and in the evening, you have a little prasad, evening program, and that's it. He said, that's all, Prabhupada? He said, yeah, on the weekend you can have a little more time together. Yeah, yeah. At the beginning, of course, is this whole passionate, you know, thing which lasts for about 2 years, maybe like that, you know. And after that, you know, ladies have their lives, what they want to do in a husband, and then, yeah, they associate. There's sometimes more necessity, you know, so on. So that's the institutions. There's what we call it, extended family, you know. Our thing with this, what do you call it? You know, it used to be like a, what's it called, a nuclear family, husband and wife and their kids. And that was it. And the parents went off to some, you know, infirm home for old people and died there, surrounded by metal pipes and plastic tubes. And that was, you know, it was horrible. You know, and now it's not even that. You know, can't even keep a nuclear family together. Like that, you know? But that's not the actual situation like that. You know, I don't know, maybe you there. How many people in your family? Yeah. Ah, I see, he's qualifying it there. No, I asked this question in North America. People would say about 5. In European countries, they say 7 because they include the father and the grandparents in their family. They don't. Their thought is my family, my father, my mother, my children. Yeah? In many cultures, if the children grow up and leave the house, it's the biggest embarrassment for the family that the children left the house. Like that. They didn't, you know, get married and bring you a new wife. But in the United States, it's the biggest embarrassment if they grow up and don't leave the family, leave the house. People think, oh my God, must be weird, you know, that people like that. He's like, he's 22 years old and he's still living at home like that, you know, wow. You know. So different cultures. And so I was asking people in India quite some time ago, how many people in your family? It was almost always about 20 to 23. Oh, 21, oh, my nanny had a baby or something, my, you know, all like that, you know. And in Indian school, what is it like, maybe about the third grade, you learn about 22 different names. What is your older sister's brother, older sister's husband, what's he called? You don't know these things. You've lost your culture. Yeah, Dija. Yeah, Dija? Yeah. Yeah, my older sister's husband, like that. He's like my father in some ways. He has responsibility to watch out for me and also to keep me in line like that. So the relations are clear. My disciple Raktak Das, we were in Fazilka, a small Indian town. His house was here with his father, his mother, sisters, brothers. And then within about 10 minutes, there were maybe like 5 more houses that belonged to different family relations like that. And you could sleep in any house you wanted to. If it just became like nighttime, time to take rest. If somebody asked, "You gonna go home or stay?" Well, I'll stay. Okay, you're here. It was just, you know, so it was like one big house like that. Everyone together. And then if somebody's having some problem or something, you go here, you go there. It was just, you could see it was like, that's what it means, you know, to have a civil, and then it's practical. One of the sisters, her husband had died, and everybody was taking care of her. You know, she didn't have to get remarried or something because emotionally and everything else, you know, she's being taken care of like that, you know. So it's a, you know, it's for us to apply this. It may take some time to figure it out, but yeah, the grihastha, the thing is to install the deity and worship the deities together, and then you won't feel suffocated so much, you know. But sometime, you know, that's very natural. You know, going and doing different programs, you know, preaching, associating. And finally, one purport Prabhupada says that if you can sit together morning and evening and have nice program, hearing and chanting, then you follow principles and you offer your food, then you shouldn't renounce and go to the forest like that, you know, so on. So when I was involved in all this grihastha ashram or this and that, it didn't work out. You know, my wife was just, you know, too attached situation. Very nice person, you know, but it was just too much. It was just, I didn't know how to make adjustments also. 1973 or something like that, you know. At that time, in 1973, if you were a vegetarian in the United States, it meant either you were a communist or a homosexual, like that, if you're a vegetarian. It was like, I mean, my sister-in-law asked my wife, you know, when I became vegetarian, she said, "But you're going to have kids, aren't you?" Like that, you know, it was like, that's your homosexual vegetarian. Listen, you can imagine it was so much difficulty for her like that. I know this, you know, it was just a very nice person, yeah. But in the end, you know, we just couldn't establish this, and I kind of took that as the standard. Prabhupada mentions many things, but I kind of took that as the standard. Unless there can be this follow the four principles, offer your food, and morning and evening program, you know, then Prabhupada says, okay, then, okay, you know, it's justified to. And so I, you know, finally we separated and moved in the temple, and after 6 years she got remarried, like that. And I found it later, but Parasra says that that's dharma in the Kali Yuga. First class is to, you know, is to become like Vishnupriya. Second class is not to get remarried, but to enjoy life. And third class, after 6 years, if your husband takes sannyas, to get remarried, it's okay. And everything seemed like intuitive, like it was all okay, you know, she, like that, you know. So yeah, by chanting, eventually we can work all this out. You chant, and you find out what's the proper situation, you know, like that. Yeah. And the end, again, if this whole point Prabhupada's saying is, if you can't keep a nice morning and evening program and follow these basic principles, then you're justified to leave the family situation like that. So-called family situation. Okay. Any final? I mention this because it was 24-hour, a big kirtan program here, and it's the idea now, go home, right? And Prabhupada says sannyasi should go door-to-door and preach Srimad Bhagavatam. And he says grihastha should invite people to their house, get prasad, and preach Srimad Bhagavatam. Like that. And so many creative ways to do that, different ways to introduce the ideas and the concepts, and so people can appreciate it. You know? And then some people will accept, some people won't accept, and you start developing a whole basic, you know, namahata, or whatever you want to call it. And that's all we need, all over the place. And some bigger temples for programs like this, you know, but everybody in your own house. And then very naturally, you know, of course, Jaya Patakamara is with the Ministry of, what's it called, Congregational Services. The idea is to make it systematic. But the basic principle is that. Invite people to your house, have a little kirtan, discuss Srimad Bhagavatam, a little more kirtan, and distribute prasadam. Like that. And when different, you know, sannyasis or devotees are traveling, brahmacharyas, invite them to come. And they can give a more organized program like that. So, yeah. So, Prabhupada ki, Hare Krishna Mahamantra ki, Gorkhamanandi, Haribo, back home, back to Godhead. Anumatra Sakhmaraj ki,